I apologize that you ended up on Thursday morning and may not have the benefit of the larger audience that you might have had on another day. We try to do that out of deference to the symposia that occurred the last couple days. We do have the honor probably of being the last Thursday session ever for the Soil Science Society, since they decided next year that the meeting will only go till Wednesday evening. So, small consolation as that is. I'll be the moderator, and the only pointer we have is the mouse, which aids in helping people who view your recorded presentation. Then they can see the mouse pointer, whereas if we had a laser pointer, that would never show up. You can click either the mouse or the up and down arrow keys if you want to advance your slides. There's some water here, all untouched, if any speaker would like one. After 12 minutes of your talk are up, I'll stand up over in the corner there, and I'll just kind of inch a little closer as time goes on. So, but I, you know, don't anticipate any problems. So, any questions before we begin? Okay. Then we'll begin with Anastasia Szczegolakina, and maybe she can tell you a better pronunciation of her name. But thank you for contributing a talk this morning.
Thank you for the introduction. My last name is Szczegolakina. I'm originally from Russia, and now I'm working in Germany, and it's always a problem to pronounce for everybody in Germany, in Europe, in USA, also in Russia. So I will be happy if you will just remember that you saw this presentation and find my name in the program, for example. So, today I'm going to tell you something about the fate of xenobiotics in soil. My supervisor, Professor Mashner, and I participate in a big priority program called SPP 1415 Biogeochemical Interfaces in Soil, which is running in Germany, and 25 different scientific groups involved in this program. And as I said, we focused on biogeochemical interfaces, and our small group working with soil organic matter and fate of xenobiotics. And first, I would like to say something about soil organic matter. According to Xink and Pignatella, soil organic matter could contain different domains, so the flexible and rigid domains. The flexible, more open for any interaction with xenobiotics because of the H bonds, and it's not so rigid as condensed domains where you can see it on the pictures. And in case of rigid domains, we could talk about the bond residues, which could be formed during the sorption. And sorption of xenobiotics could be more slowly as a desorption. I just want to point out that bond residues is a portion of compound that can be extracted from soil, normally by organic solvent without altering the chemical structure of the compound. Just want to point that bond residues, it's not a special unique chemicals. It's just part which can be extracted. So this is a big question. What's the bound residues still? Our hypothesis is that the structural conformation of soil organic matter affects sorption of xenobiotic and thus influences the formation of bound residues. We expect to see that expanded and flexible soil organic matter could be formed by monovalent cations like sodium, and this structure could be more open and flexible and open for xenobiotics like phenanthrene and nonylphenol, and polyvalent cations like calcium or aluminum could make the soil organic matter more condensed and rigid absorption, and desorption should be more difficult absorption of xenobiotics on this soil organic matter. Another idea is that the addition of substrates can enhance the biodegradation of bound residues either through co-metabolism or through enhanced degradation of sorbent, and could show us the priming effect. In frame of our project, we worked with two organics, the new phenol and phenantren. We worked with radioactive and not radioactive, and on this picture you can see where it was marked on the ring. And we choose the Sandy Lake Podzol soil for our study because the content of clay is about 2% and soil organic carbon is about 3%, which is very important for our work because to change the properties of soil organic matter, we use the percolation of soil by different salts. Here you can see this hem of this process. We just treat the soil by water or these three different salts, sodium, calcium or aluminum chloride in concentration 0.1 molar in ratio 1 to 50. And after treating by salts, we washed our water by water. For further experiment, we used the soils treated by salts, the original soil as a control, and soil treated by water for sorption experiment of nonyl phenol. We just started to work with this soil. Two different big experiments were carried out, the sorption experiments and degradation experiments. Sorption experiments were carried out in Teflon chambers where the soil was separated from our compound by the membrane spectrophore microwave cutter of 1000. And this system could give us the results not depends of dissolved organic matter. The soil water solution was in ratio 1 to 5, and the new phenol and phenantren concentration was in 1.2 microgram per gram of soil concentration. And during the treatment of different salts, we changed the properties of soil, and even we changed the acidity of soil. In this case, we monitored the pH level during the sorption experiment in the system and changed it if it was necessary by acid. Directly after the sorption experiment, the desorption experiment was carried out by replacing the solution by fresh water several times. Here you can see the results. This is a kinetic sorption of nonyl phenol on treated soils during the 70 hours. And as you can see, we have effect of treatment of aluminum chloride. It was pity to see that this effect is not really significant, but this is a fact and we have to work with this. Desorption of nonyl phenol on the soil treated by different salts showed that desorption was low in the soil treated by aluminum and sodium and high in the soil treated by calcium. This is a sorption of phenantren on the soil, and as you can see, the effect on absorption wasn't so big, and effect on the desorption again we see in the soil treated by sodium and also soil treated by water. The degradation experiment was carried out in Respiquant apparatus. This is a closed system with a water bath. We have a constant temperature, 22 grad, and the soil was wetted and placed to the closed system where the carbon dioxide was collected in calcium hydroxide, and then this calcium hydroxide was analyzed every hour, and we have a respiration curve on the computer, and also this solution was analyzed to see the radioactive carbon dioxide, to see the mineralization only of nonyl phenol. Every three days we took their part of this calcium hydroxide. The soil was pre-incubated just with water during 2 weeks. Then we added the new phenol in concentration 1.2 microgram new phenol per gram of soil. Then it was incubated another 1 week, and we add the substrates, glucose, cortisol, wood flow additions in these concentrations. I would like to say that respiration curves was the same for all treatments, so we didn't see any effect of treatment. It was higher with wood flow additions, but this we can see also on the total mineralization graph here. Before the additions of substrates, the mineralization of nanyl was very, very low. And after addition of water and glucose, we saw the increase of total mineralization of nanyl phenol in original soil, which follow us to idea that we have to work with control treated just by water. And the addition of glucose had an effect on the mineralization. The mineralization was higher after addition of glucose, and in case of wood flow addition, we saw the priming effect and the differences between treatments. The higher mineralization of nanyl phenol was in soil treated by sodium chloride, but not really significantly different from original soil. And we have low mineralization of nanyl phenol in soil treated by calcium and aluminum. I'm going to conclusion, and I would like to say that sorption of nanyl phenol and phenandrin to soil is not significantly affected by different cation treatment, but we saw the effect of treatment on desorption. Nanyl phenol mineralization in untreated and cation-treated soils is very low without substrate additions. Nanyl phenol mineralization was stimulated by addition of glucose, and here we have the idea maybe that microbial activity is substrate limited, and we saw the catabolic nanyl phenol degradation in this case. And wood flow greatly stimulated nanyl phenol mineralization, especially in original and sodium treated soils. And here we have two big questions which we have to investigate and understand. Lignin and cellulose promote activity of microorganisms capable of nanyl phenol mineralization, and at lignin microbial activity, nanyl phenol mineralization is limited in aluminum treated soils due to reduced desorption rates from cross-linked organic matter. Thank you for your attention.
Any questions for Anastasia?
So would the implication be that it's how long were the incubations before that, where you observed the degradation of the nonyl phenol? I didn't catch that.
3 weeks.
3 weeks. So could some white rot fungi or something grow that rapidly?
We have to analyze it. This is the next steps that we have to do. And I would like to say that in frame of this project, we plan to make a lone aging experiment just to take our treated soils, sterilized by gamma radiation and spiked by our compounds and stored during the year. And then after 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, and 1 year of this long engine, we plan to make incubation again. Mm-hmm. And then we have more time to see and analyze how was affected long aging sorption and degradation during several weeks.
Your desorption experiment, what did you measure exactly? I mean, I saw the curves, but the desorption was seemed higher than the amount that it was absorbed. Right? So I was wondering what the.
Could you please speak into the mic?
Yeah, sure. on that graph that I showed, the sorption and desorption results, there was a carbon normalized coefficient that wasn't the total amount which was sorbed or desorbed. That was the reason why you saw the differences between bars. Desorption was low, and smaller than sorption. And we analyzed the pure solution from half chamber without soil. As you remember, that half chambers separated by membrane, and we changed the solution in one part of this chamber several times, shake our system and see the desorption.
Anything else? Okay, thank you, Anastasia.
Thank you.